As I was saying, it sort of puts things into perspective. So I had thoughts about, geez, I almost died without having kids. I almost died without really ever having that love of marriage, that love of your life type of experience. There was so much that I felt like I really wanted to have in life, but came so close to not having any of those opportunities. And of course, at this point, I didn't know how many of those opportunities would still be there because I had no idea what life would be like, or certainly what life as a blind person would be like. It was really then that I began to really kind of reflect on what had happened to my life, what had happened from this day where everything had been going so well. And now here I was, just a couple of months or a month and some weeks later, and everything was completely up in the air as far as I had no idea what my life would have for me. And I began sort of feeling around on my face, and it was still totally covered in antibiotic ointments and stuff, but I began to sort of explore with my fingertips, the damage that had been done. And that time my head and face were still super swollen, and so it felt very odd and awkward. I would have those types of experiences where I was challenged to the very core of my being, and all of my self-identity had been sort of stripped away, that I still had really good friends surrounding me.
So it sounds like you made this important decision to basically go for life and figure out what to do. And a lot of it's because of Amber. Where is she during that time after the bear and before you go down to California?
Amber comes to see me for the first time since being asked to leave, and it's her first time seeing me when I'm awake, I'm sitting up next to the bed in this chair, and I'm not speaking at the time, and so I'm communicating via this dry erase board, and she sits down at my knees on the floor with sort of her hand on my knees, and I write down the words. I say, I'm blind, and she's like, yeah, I know, I'm sorry, and I write down the words. I say, crazy. And she's like, yeah, it's super crazy. And then I sort of erase, with my rag, the whiteboard, and I scribble down the words, I'm scared, And she's like, yeah, no. Amber continued to hang around just sort of as a friend until it was time for me to go to California to continue those surgeries. And as I, mentioned earlier, we then reconnected sort of over the telephone, which eventually then drew us back together. And it was a year later when I planned my first trip back up to Alaska since blindness. It was in June. And I planned a trip to come up and spend some time with Amber and do some fishing, get back out on the river. We drive back up to her place, her cabin up in Bear Valley. And we're sitting there at first very awkwardly, being in the same room. We had not much time together before the bear, and not much time together, me as a blind person, in person, lots of time on the phone. And so it was kind of awkward at first. And, we still weren't totally sure who we were. But once again, we ended up having one of those just remarkable nights that together of really connection that moved us from, friendship status to relationship status, together. Once again, I woke up the next morning with plans to go fishing with John and with Jaha. So I said, hey, honey, I'm going fishing. I'll call you when I get back, just as I had the previous year. It was this strange sort of deja vu and or a second chance, if you will. And I went fishing, and proud that not only did I keep that promise to call her that night after fishing, but that I was able to call her and tell her I'd caught a 40-pound king. So it was a real victory lap, as I now refer to it as, in the sense that I got to come back to Alaska, catch the fish, keep the fish, and get the girl.
Dan and Amber were married 3 years after the attack. I interviewed Dan for more than an hour at his home in Anchorage. While I was there, I got to meet his son, Alden, and his daughter, Acacia, and his wife, Amber. And they were having a gathering after our interview, so as I was getting ready to go, more and more friends kept showing up. It struck me that when I was interviewing him, We spent so much time talking about when he had been alone and when he had been fighting for his life all by himself. And now here he was, surrounded by all these people. Dan has a book out now. It's called Beyond the Bear. If you want to learn more, you can just go to danbigley.com. That's Dan Bigley, B-I-G-L-E-Y.com.